This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Next Tuesday, Boston voters will pick the city's first new mayor in 20 years. It's a momentous opportunity that's come down to a choice between two candidates. Yesterday, we spoke with City Councilor John Connolly. Today, we'll hear from State Representative Marty Walsh, and he joins us now on the line from his campaign office on Beacon Hill. Marty Walsh, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. So, listeners, what's your question for Marty Walsh? She wishes to become the next mayor of Boston in a race that's been characterized by a focus on education and unions, old and new Boston. What more do you want to hear from Marty Walsh? If he does become the next mayor, what course would you like him to set on public safety, affordable housing, education, transportation? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Marty Walsh, let's start with, there's been a lot of polling going on in recent days, but there's a new one out just today from Suffolk University and the Boston Herald, and it shows that you are leading by a very tight 3 points over John Connolly. How does that poll leave you and your campaign feeling?
It's good for the moment that it came out, but, you hear this a lot, polls don't matter, it matters what happens on election day, and I'm planning on not changing what we've been doing, just continue to move along and meet as many people as possible and try and continue to get our message out about education and public safety and economic development and all the things that we've been talking about on this campaign. It's nice though, feels good for a little bit. And this week's the first time I've been leading in the polls at all in the campaign. But honestly, I don't put much stake in what a poll says.
Well, so given that, I just want to ask you one more question about polling, because over the past couple of weeks, there seems to have been a trend with your campaign. The same Suffolk University Boston Herald group, just after the preliminary, put out a poll, and that had, this was many weeks ago, had John Connolly in the lead. So it seems as if there seems to be a shift in terms of the thinking of Boston voters. What do you think is behind it? This shift, if it does indeed exist?
Well, the fact that we're talking about the issues, all the issues, and we're not just focused on one issue in the campaign. And I think that, I've been working, 18 hours a day out meeting voters, and my field, I have a great field staff and plan, and we're working hard getting the message out to all the voters in all parts of the city. I think that's one reason. I think the second piece is, I've received some very strong endorsements of Charlotte Golar-Ritchie and Felix Arroyo and John Barros and many of my colleagues both at City Hall and at the State House, and Sonia Chain Diaz and Linda Dosinafori, Anthony Petroselli, to name a few on the Senate side. And everyone's working. We're working towards this goal of getting elected next Tuesday, and I'm happy where we are, but we're not letting up. We're going to continue to move forward.
Well, Marty Walsh, you mentioned the whole slew of endorsements that you've been receiving. I want to ask you about the fact that the Boston Globe yesterday endorsed your opponent, John Connolly, and a couple things that the Globe said in its endorsement. It showered praise on both of you, but it said that if the city of Boston is looking for a good steward of City Hall and a man who might bring incremental improvement to the city, that voters should vote for you. But if they're looking someone to make for faster change and help Boston realize its future potential more quickly in a more innovative way, then that they should vote for John Connolly. And I wonder what you make of that juxtaposition.
I mean, I think, I read the endorsement yesterday, and I'm not sure what they meant by that as far as how they came to that determination, but I certainly have very detailed, aggressive ideas on how to move our city forward. We've had Mayor Mignano for 20 years, and he's done a very good job in a lot of areas, and our city's in good shape for the next mayor to take over. But we have to make some changes around the innovation economy, and even just in within city government itself, make it more accessible. And we have to, we have some good ideas on how to do that. Upgrading systems and internet systems and things like that. We're going to start, if I'm fortunate enough to get elected on Tuesday, start the next day with the transition and begin to implement a lot of some of the ideas that we want to bring to City Hall when we get the day in January.
Well, Marty Walsh, I think what the Globe meant by that is in part what it wrote a little later in its endorsement. It called Connolly a reformer, whereas you, according to the Globe, editorial page, I should say, they say that you're more rooted in the establishment.
Yeah,
and while you have received a lot of endorsements from across, you know, a diverse spectrum of Boston voices. The Globe says that you must understand on some level, quote, that the endorsements he received are a down payment on maintaining the status quo.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I mean, when you look at the endorsements I've received, many of them are fairly newly elected officials that certainly aren't status quo. They would be regarded more of when we had the phrase New Boston versus Old Boston. And as far as a reformer, I mean, I've taken a lot of opportunity on Beacon Hill to vote on reform issues and change a lot of things. I know that doesn't translate into reforming, but I don't know where they came up with that. I certainly have a lot of ideas as far as how to reform and transform City Hall. I put some bold ideas out there regarding the BRA and changing the way we do economic development. I've spoken very publicly about the police department and how we have to make the police department a reflection of our city and changing as far as the leadership and bringing more people of color into the police department and moving forward, more women. We've talked around that. Our education plan is based upon my support in the past of charter schools and also my vote on 2010 of reforming the public education system in Boston. And actually, in my education plan, we talk about reforming public high school. So I'm not sure where the Globe really came up with some of that, some of those words they use. But certainly, you know, as a new mayor of the city of Boston, I look forward to moving our city forward. I don't want to wait a long time. Incremental change doesn't always get us there, and we need to, in some cases, be move faster. In some places, you know, we just have to make some adjustments. And I don't think we have to necessarily reform the whole system. You know, Mayor Menino's in the every poll consistently has been that Mayor Menino's a very positive, a popular person, which I'm translating into some of his ideas are very popular. However, there needs to be reform in Boston in a lot of areas, and I've been the only candidate to talk about reforms. I
mean, okay.
I've done it with ethics reform, a bold ethics plan to bring to City Hall that doesn't happen today. So, you know, I'm, you know, the Globe wasn't with me in the primary, and in the final, I look at it, they certainly were very much more complimentary to me in the final. So I think a lot of people at the Globe understand that I am going to bring some serious change to City Hall.
Well, Marty Walsh, I want to get some callers in here because we've got several people lined up who want to talk to you, and I'll do that in just a minute. But let me ask you, you know, one of the broad brushes by which this campaign has been painted overall is sort of, you know, a little bit of what we just touched on, reform and education versus labor and unions. And so I want to ask you a little bit about that, because you've said many a time on this campaign trail that your background and experience with labor makes you the perfect candidate to be able to, you know, to bridge the divide and effectively negotiate with union leadership if you were indeed to be mayor of the city of Boston. And you've done that while on Beacon Hill several times. I mean, I know that, for example, you were the man to deliver the bad news that in certain instances that the unions couldn't get what they want.
Yeah.
And House Speaker Robert DeLeo would send union leaders to you to hear that bad news. But I wonder, I mean, that's possible for you to do as maybe a less prominent member of the legislature. But isn't it different? Isn't it more difficult in a way to deliver that kind of bad news when you are the leadership, when you are the mayor? Because, I mean, you basically would have so much more to lose politically if you stood up to union demands.
No, I think the opposite. I think it's much more effective when I am the leader, because it's going to be coming directly from me. And they're going to understand the changes that need to happen, or when we're negotiating a contract, what the city can afford, what the city can't afford. Come up with an understanding faster. The police, in this case of the latest contract, aren't going 4.5 years without a contract. I certainly don't anticipate and do not want to prolong some negotiations. And I'm hoping that, you know, as I be able to use my ability and my skill and my fairness to get a good contract for the city. And in cases where I need to, you know, get some other than the monetary stuff, where I need changes in a contract, I feel that, you know, I'll be able to get those, because I'm going to view, hopefully, labor as a partner in this, and hopefully they will reciprocate back the same way with me when it comes to the issues around City Hall. One example is the teachers. I'm going to be sitting down with the teachers after I get elected mayor of the city of Boston to get some of the changes I need to be able to transform the rest of our schools in Boston. So I think being the mayor will actually give me a greater benefit to be able to to work with these unions.
How do you square that with, I know you've heard this before, but how do you square that with the criticism of the legislation that you filed along with the Boston Firefighters Union? It hasn't passed yet, but that would cut the city council out of reviewing arbitration decisions.
I filed that in 2002, and it's 2013. That legislation didn't move, and, you know, this is in this case, my opponent who brought this up, and, the same person who's talking about drawing a line in the sand, and, you know, I think there's plenty of opportunity for me to be able to use what I've learned to move forward, move the city forward, and move budgets forward and contract negotiations forward. I'm fairly confident in my ability to be able to get to yes, and I've been able to do it my entire career on Beacon Hill, and again, I'll be able to do it as mayor of the city of Boston.
All right, so let's talk to some of the people who will be casting their vote on Tuesday. Let's go to Bill, who's calling from Hyde Park. You're on the air, Bill.
Hi, Marty. How are you? Longtime friend, Eddie Wyman's grandson. You and I had gone to a Red Sox game a few years back.
Oh, yeah. I love you. Your grandfather's a great man. The Wyman Reentry Center is named out in Long Island after him. He'd be proud of this race.
He'd be very proud.
Hey, Bill, we're running out of time, and I want to get to as many voters as we can. So what's your question?
My question for you is that I'm sitting here watching all these preliminary things and all these debates that you have, and all I ever hear your opponent talk about is education. I never hear him talk about, you know, affordable housing in Boston, you know, bringing that back or anything else like that. That's all I ever hear out of him is education. What I hear out of you is, you know, a whole big plan, and I wanted to ask you, you know, do you ever think it'll be the day where the housing goes back to, like, fair market value in Boston and people can rent at an affordable rate?
All right, Bill, let's let Marty Walsh answer that question. Thanks so much for your call.
Thanks, Bill. One of the issues around housing is the supply. We have to increase the supply of housing. There's a couple of things we have to do. Number one is increase the supply of housing in Boston, and moderate income housing is number one. Number two, we have to create real opportunities for first-time home buyers and create some homes, two- and three-family homes in Boston by building them. I have a plan to build homes on city-owned lots and revert them, sell them off to first-time home buyers and be able to take a city-owned lot that's a vacant lot right now and transform it back onto the rolls as far as, for real estate taxes. I think that's another plan we have here that we're going to talk about. And also, you know, the federal government's cutting back on some money for housing, and we really have to keep an eye on that to figure out how we're going to make up that shortfall when it happens. It's happening right now, but if the Congress can't get to an agreement on the budget, we're going to be looking at another $10 to $20 million cut in the budget. And last year they were cut $22 million. So we have some potential real problems in housing coming up as far as keeping our housing that we have in the Boston right now affordable, particularly in the Boston Housing Authority. But we also are talking about working with particularly around college universities areas, you know, Mission Hill and Brighton, to try and get to a point where we have the universities built on campus housing and have their whole entire student population living on campus, and that will free up some space as well and apartment availability in a lot of Boston.
All right, Marty Walsh, let's take another call here. Sonia is calling from Dorchester. You're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to know about garbage. What's your vision for recycling, composting, increasing education about composting and more recycling? What's your garbage thought?
Well, I mean, I have a very different feel than my opponent on this. My opponent has said publicly that he would look at charging people for garbage, just throwing garbage away. However, my idea is different than that. Our recycling contract is coming up in Boston in 2014. I'd like to expand recycling. Certainly want to bring it to our park system that we don't have today in Boston. I want to enhance it. I'm looking at bringing composting to doing pilot programs around the city, also partnering possibly with the restaurants in downtown Boston to see if they'd enter into a composting program with the city of Boston. And I think that's important. I think a lot of this, we have a very comprehensive plan that we've been talking about, and some of it goes back to education of the citizens of Boston regarding recycling. I think we have to do a better job in Boston of recycling. And I've also been on record of supporting the expanded bottle bill in Boston, which I think would help us tremendously as well in the recycling area.
All right. Well, Marty, we also want to get one more call in here. Hans is calling from Roslindale. You're on the air, Hans.
Hi, Martin.
Hi, Hans.
I'm an undecided voter, and my question is, you know, nobody's talking about the arts. No one. You know, what are you going to do about the arts, you know, especially with the school children, the high school children, and, you know, bringing the arts back to Boston? I mean, there's, you know, nothing going on in this city. you know, and just tell me what's your plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hans. Before I answer that, I just want to, all three callers would like to ask you a vote on Tuesday. I should have done that when I had them on the phone. I'm the first candidate in the race to call for the Arts Commission to be a cabinet-level position. I did it way back in March, May, when this race started, and, you know, we're going to look at funding the arts program in the city budget that hasn't been done in many, many years. There's a real opportunity here for economic development around the arts and bringing in real revenue into the city of Boston. I'd like to bring the art programs back into schools and also have a comprehensive approach to how we do arts and more festivals in Boston. And, you know, kind of Montreal has a lot of festivals around the arts, and, you know, take some ideas from Montreal and other cities around the country, this country, to enhance the arts in Boston. And, you know, we're talking about from the local artist in a neighborhood through the institutions, the great institutions we have in Boston. I would like to see if the institutions would implement some relief regarding fares to get into the art museums, particularly for high school and younger kids in Boston, and really promote our city and tell a story through the arts. That's something that we're going to do.
Well, Marty Walsh, we've got about a minute and a half here left, and just a couple questions about this campaign overall as we march into the final days here. Outside groups have spent, what, almost $2.4 million on your campaign, while your official campaign has spent about $1.7 million. Do you think you'd be in this tight race or possibly pulling ahead if it weren't for all that outside money?
Well, outside money has spent a lot of money in this race on both candidates.
But more on you.
Well, the last couple of days, an awful lot of people have put money into my opponent's race. I think they're up to over $1 million now with TV ads and things like that. So, without the outside money, I still think we're in the same position we are today. We have had a great field. We have great momentum. You know, I've been able to personally raise, my campaign's raised about $2.5 million, actually, since it began, which is a lot of money. Unfortunately, that's the one downside to this race, is that the amount of money that it takes to run for mayor of Boston. Didn't realize it when it started, the impact of being able to have to get your message out there. You know, TV ads are extremely expensive. They're important, but they're very expensive to buy time on TV. You know, to buy just a regular buy of TV to get a what they call it, a point in the market, costs about $550,000, which is crazy.
Well, Marty Walsh, on that note, I'm sorry to have to cut you off, but we are just up against the wall here time-wise. Marty Walsh is a state representative and candidate for the mayor of City of Boston. It's always great to talk to you, Marty Walsh. Thank you so much for joining us again today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.